What's up, you reader fucks? My name's Kevin Strange.
And this is Travis.
And we're here from the Watching with Strangers podcast, because there's other things in the world besides books, too, you bookish fucks. We review cult movies. What kind of cult movies do we review, Travis?
All kinds of cult movies.
Like what?
Cultists of the cult, including Cult from the Future.
Cult movies from the future at kevinthestrange.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever other podcasts fuck, you fucks.
Hey, Kevin. What do you want to do about this podcast intro?
For Reading to Strangers?
Yeah.
I was thinking we'd download this broody-ass music. Then you'd be like, Read to Strangers. I'd be like, I don't want to read to strangers. I'd be like, Read to Strangers. I'd be like, I don't want to read to strangers. Then I shoot myself in the head. Pow!
See, I was thinking more like Reading Rainbow's theme song.
Like, with LeVar Burton?
Yeah.
Like, take a look, it's in a book, that shit?
Yeah, but like, Reading to Strangers.
Reading to Strangers. Reading to Strangers. No, that's a terrible idea. And welcome back, gang, once again.
Week 3, episode 3.
Reading to Strangers.
Reading to Strangers.
Reading to Strangers. They just heard that, so every time we do that, they're just hearing it twice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, my name's Kevin Strange.
My name's Jeremy Daniels.
This is the Reading to Strangers podcast, and we are back for our third week.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we made it three times.
Three times, yep. Got shit together at least three times.
How many times did we do Reading to Monsters?
I don't remember.
20 times?
Somewhere around there.
20 episodes. So this is what we got to beat. We do at least 21 episodes of this. You want to sit and record 21 episodes today?
Not today.
We're still time traveling, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We're recording this pretty early.
22nd of January?
This is the 22nd of January in podcast time.
Yeah. But
in human time, it's not. We're a couple weeks back, right?
Yeah.
So there may be some, you know, the world. Well, oh!
Trump.
Either Donald Trump is the official 45th president of the United States right now, or
we're at fucking war. This ain't gonna matter.
According to Alex Jones, they just changed
The Economist. Yeah, I saw that.
What'd you see?
Trump was on one of the tarot cards for upcoming 2017. And they changed him to an eagle.
Oh. The thing I'm talking about is Alex Jones says that the federal government is now taking control of elections. They're federalizing U.S. elections. Before, it's historically been a state-run matter. The states themselves decided the security of the voting booths, what kind of voting machines they had.
They work in Iraq, so...
Yeah, apparently we federalized the... Now we federalized it. Now Alex Jones, of course, thinks that that means they're going to... they still have, as of the recording of this podcast, 13 days to figure out a way to stop him from being president. Alex Jones thinks this is how they're going to do it, by federalizing the election process. You know, he's Alex Jones. So.
Yeah.
You listen to Alex Jones at all?
Not really. I tried for a while.
Man, I love him.
He just goes off on tangents.
I love him.
I get enough of him at other podcasts.
You know, he's way easier to digest. I don't know how much YouTube you do. But he cuts his show up into like 20-minute segments and just... And actually,
I watch bullshit on YouTube.
We're actually going to be doing that with this show, I think. I think I'm going to be cutting up some of the like more juicy bits and putting them on YouTube.
With like dick pics in the background.
Well, yeah. So, what's going on here this week on the show?
We have part 3 of Humans Under the Bed.
And the another controversial topic that's for sure going to get the bizarro and horror communities up in arms. We're going to talk after the jump off, after the reading, we're going to talk about how to survive pop culture and horror conventions for single white guys.
Wow, that should be interesting. I know you can't get crushes.
No. We're going to talk all about that. But first... News and updates?
News and updates.
What's
new? Kevin Strange.
What's new with you, sir?
Not much since last episode, since I was like 20 minutes ago. But, you know, I may be fighting in a trench at this point.
So, whose side are you gonna fight on?
Not mine. I'm just going to shoot everybody. That's just how it works.
You just sit there and snipe everybody. You're that asshole in Call of Duty that just shoots everybody.
Yeah, two sides trying to fight in a trench. One guy in a hole shooting. Not much, man. Same old, same old. I'm a wastewater operator in real life, and sure I've got shit all over myself this week, too.
good. It's good to hear. So, the website, kevinstrange.com, still popping off.
Yep.
Still doing big numbers.
Yep.
Big old numbers. Now, they're going to go look at the Alexa numbers and be like, actually, Kevin Strange, you're number 5 million, and I actually went and looked, and I'm... my 5 million position on Alexa. The Alexa is a website positioning site that will, you plug in your website and it'll tell you what your rank is among all billion websites out there. Something like 625 million active websites, and I'm at kevinthestrange.com is hanging out around the 5 million mark. Now guess what I did?
What?
I went and looked up other authors. Authors that should be way ahead of me, and guess what? They are
way lower,
way behind me. We bring consistently double the traffic of some of the some of our buddies, some of our big time buddies that sell way more books than me. So I guess I'm doing something wrong. I get way more web traffic. They say they sell way more books. So maybe I should write more books and do less posting on the internet. But
maybe that's the trick.
But I do have some new stuff that's landed on the site in the last week.
Yeah.
In honor of the Korek and the Shoggoth Steel free short story that we posted last week. This week we have a Kevin Strange's top sword and sorcery movies list.
Wow.
That's going live. That's gone live within the last week since we last spoke. And that's just,
where's,
you know,
Masters of the Universe on it?
I don't have Masters of the Universe on there, but I guess I should. That's, yeah, but I like that. That's what's so cool about He-Man is that He-Man uses everything. Yeah. He-Man's got a little bit of horror, a little bit of science fiction, a little bit of sword and sorcery. I mean, it's pretty fucking...
And the patriarchy.
Oh, yeah. It's very... No, because there was She-Ra.
But she was lesser than He-Man. What? I thought they were... She-Ra.
Well, yeah, but no, they did have She-Ra.
No, they
She-Ra
did
had her toys, She-Ra. And they came... They had a cartoon. And
the main woman in He-Man was evil then. That's women have to be evil. She's got to bow down to Skeletor.
I mean, women are pretty fucking evil.
Yeah, they don't understand they control everything either.
Oh, they do. They do understand they control everything. That's why the power has gone to their heads. And now they want, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah,
as
true.
Soon as females realized that they had, all they had to do was scream, # rape culture, and we were completely fucked. But that's for after the after the jump. So we got the sword and sorcery post going live on kevinthestrange.com.
Vampire got some new time.
That, yeah, we talked about that last week, though.
What was yesterday?
Yesterday
the
was the third, the official, now for everybody that was a Patreon I keep wanting it to be kevinthestrange.com/Patreon, but that's not a thing.
Not yet.
It's patreon.com.
Yeah, get a little bigger. I bet their numbers
a little higher.
Way higher.
A little higher on Alexa than me.
It might be in the single millions.
So everybody that has been a Patreon at patreon.com/KevinTheStrange, every patron that has donated at the $1 a month or higher level, they got access to the third installment of the My Angry Roommate erotic story 2 weeks early. But yesterday, that went live on KevinTheStrange.com for the rest of the... Now, listen, I don't give away my smut. I don't give away my smut for free. For free. Right,
so 12 dick pics in my phone.
No, listen.
Oh, you're rich.
You have to subscribe to my newsletter that you can subscribe to at kevinthestrange.com. And every month when my newsletter comes out, there's a new password for the erotic section of the website. I ain't just giving you these smutty stories to jerk it to, okay? You gotta at least earn it a little bit. So you gotta sign up for the newsletter, get the newsletter password, and then you can jerk it to the smut stories. So the new one went live yesterday, and the newsletter went out early in the month with the password. If you sign up now, you'll immediately get a copy of the newsletter with the password in it. Jeremy, I need you to take over because I got to go get the fucking plug for the computer because the battery's going to die on us.
Oh, no.
So, why don't you talk a little bit about your favorite smut?
Oh,
he's looking at me in a panic that I'm turning the show over to him for 2 seconds.
My favorite smut from Kevin Strange. Let's see. Unholy Matrimony, is that what was called, Kevin? trying to talk to him as he walks into his room as a professional podcaster he is now. I don't know. There was a lot of good smut and vampire guts in Nuketown. I mean, it was a little erotic. I mean, you just got to say it was, because it was. I mean, it had everything from straight to even incestual sex.
I like how, as soon as I tell you to take over, you ask me a question.
I thought I'd catch you before you walked out the hallway. Now he's plugging it in. Or he's giving me a blowjob. Not sure why he's under. I'll tell you right now. Yeah, no, he must be plugging it in. There's no zipping going down or anything like that.
Let's hope this plugging this in doesn't fucking
kill
our episode. Mm-hmm. Alright, there we go. Everything seems to be still going. So, technical difficulties, gang, have been achieved. It's holy matrimony, H-O-L-E-Y.
That's it, holy
matrimony. Holy is Jesus. In the the hand holes, right?
The stigmata.
Yes. That's a good one. I like that one. You know what's funny? SJWs hate Christianity. Political correctness has no bearing on religion, on Christian religion at all. You can have gay Jesus suck three alien dicks while fucking giving them fucking hand jobs through his stigmata, and they don't give a single fucking shit. But you tell them that by banning the rebel flag, they set a precedent that's going to fucking see all the books burned, and they call you a racist. Just get your mind around that. So... yeah, so my angry roommate's up. So we're repeating ourselves at this point. So let's get into the story for the week. Part three of the humans under the bed. Now, the last we left off, the humans the humans had come up from under the bed, and Big Dex had gotten into a big fight with them, but by the end of the episode, we were the little monsters had gotten into what was that guy's name?
I don't
remember. They got into the human, and they were Krug from the clan Krug. They were operating his body as a dying meat puppet, and they were dragging Buckstack along as a slave. And they sort of integrated into the human army, and they marched to the foot of the Overmind, which is a giant fucking a giant mountain that used to be a supercomputer. And the supercomputer, of course, is the thing that manifests all of humanity's deepest, darkest fears and created, you know, their nightmares into flesh. That's what created the monsters in the first place. Well, all the humans camp out at the base of the Overmind, and the little monsters, they get there. So that's what happened.
Enjoy.
We're jumping in to the next part. We'll see you on the other side, gang, for talking about them white boys going to them pop culture cons being single.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Kevin.
I got a great idea for a new Patreon ad.
Let's hear it.
You know how people like to talk about my dick on the internet all the time?
Not really, but go on.
Let's jerk off on each other's dicks right now.
No.
Why not? Are you trying to friend zone me or something?
Pretty much.
Is it because I'm fat?
No, I'm a chubby chaser, but it's okay.
Where can we go?
You can go to www.patreon.com/KevinTheStrange.
What can we find there?
You can find ways to donate to all things Kevin the Strange.
For as little as $1 a month, right?
Yes, sir.
And right now you can download my erotic horror story, My Angry Roommate, right now before anybody else.
Yep, just for $1.
At Kevin the Strange, no. Patreon.com/KevinTheStrange. Wah! Ah! Krug of the Clan Krug was dying, but lucid. He had wished for a glorious death on the battlefield, like he was raised to believe he'd get when his people rose once again to the surface world that was ripped from their grasp by the evil things. He never imagined his guts would be infested with tiny evil, that he'd be held hostage in his own mind while evil masqueraded as the mighty Krug. If only he could reach up and push the button. The button would put an end to the tiny evil,
Songs would be sung about his heroic death by the Krug clan forever if he could just take back his body from the tiny evil for 1 second. Push the button. Boom. Dexy and Buxtech crawled out the window. Blood streamed out of the foot-long wound in the human stomach as Dexy marched it forward, swaying back and forth, still trying to learn how to walk with human legs. The monster city was in ruins. Acrid smoke billowed up from 1,000 scorch marks across its creeping flesh, choking the children, causing their eyes to water and their noses to sting. Neon blood from trench-like gashes turned the green river streets purple and black. All around the little monsters, screams of death, screams of agony, and victory assaulted their senses. The Overmind loomed in the distance. Its all-seeing eyeball still glowed blood red, a beacon of hope in a sea of apocalyptic chaos. How could it let this happen? How had it not known the human scourge still lurked below the surface? Dexy and Buxtech looked at each other and gulped. No sooner had they begun to trudge forward toward the Overmind when a warbling voice stopped them in their tracks.
You there, stop!
Dexy turned around to face a group of humans, 3 regulars and 6 pieces of a flesh cannon, including 2 bullets. They'd barely made it out of their house, and already they'd been spotted by an assault team.
What is this monster which is not to be alive doing with you alive?
The leader of the assault team asked. He was a short, stocky human with metal spikes protruding from his bald skull like porcupine quills.
He is my prisoner, Dexy managed.
The human's tongue was swelling from trauma and blood loss. Its body was going into shock, making its muscles rigid.
The law states that we take no prisoners because of that which the law states,
said another short human, this one female, with rows of steel rings buried into the flesh of her large breasts.
I know this one,
a piece of the flesh cannon said, one of the bullets. It walked forward on its hands.
He is Krug from the Clan Krug, which I know as Krug from the Clan Krug. What is wrong with your body, Krug? I was wounded by this one in battle with this one,
Dexy said, trying to imitate the peculiar cadence of the human speech. He began to panic, and as he panicked, his focus wavered. The left hand of the human twitched, subtly at first, then in jerking spasms, trying to lift itself up. Dexy used the right hand to push it back down into place.
It looks like glorious death will be upon you soon, who I know as Krug from the Clan Krug. Why not take the tiny evil's head as a trophy to take with you to the great machine beyond, which is what awaits you after glorious death?
Buxtech looked at Dexy terrified.
What's happening? I can't see anything,
Willix said, squirming inside the human's empty belly.
Shut up. I can't concentrate when you're talking to me,
Dexy said, losing more control of the human by the second.
Okay,
Dexy said.
I'll just... Evil! Evil inside me! I'll just... Evil!
Take this one back into the... Evil things! House and kill him in there!
No,
the spike-headed human said, his eyes resting on the human's hand, still jerking.
Krug of the Clan Krug will kill the tiny evil here, because that is what we've told Krug to do.
That's when the hand broke free of Dexy's grasp. It touched a series of spots on the spinning gyro embedded in its chest. The gyro stopped spinning and popped open, revealing a button within. The hand touched it, and the human exploded. For the second time in a day, Dexy woke up blind. He was sure this time was for real. He blinked and blinked, but all he could see was blackness. He couldn't move either. Maybe this was death. Didn't seem so glorious.
Destroy the tiny evil.
Nope, not dead. but blind and paralyzed? Might as well be dead. Then Buxtec climbed off him, not blind or paralyzed, but when he saw what was happening, he wished he was. The flesh cannon was forming itself, locking all the pieces in place while the bullet climbed atop the contraption. As if that wasn't bad enough, the ring-breasted human held Willix in her hand, holding her out triumphantly like a trophy. The spike-headed human lay dead on the ground. The blast from Krug of the Clan Krug's body had sent shrapnel in all directions, impaling Spikehead in 4 or 5 different places, including his face, right between his eyes. Buxtec was unharmed. He charged the ring-breasted woman, tearing Willix from her grasp, tossing her back toward the spot where Dexy lay. Ring breasts sunk her metal claws into Buxtec's side as her remaining companion did the same. They dug their feet into the ground as the flesh cannon powered up. They were about to do to Buxtec what they'd done to Big Dex.
"We have to help him, Willix," Dexy said in a panic.
"We're just kids," she screamed back. "We can't fight."
Dexy grabbed his sister by the shoulders and looked her in the eyes. His face was his father's face in that instant.
"You know what to do."
Dexy sprinted toward the humans as fast as his little legs could take him. He let out a roar that sounded more akin to a squeak and leapt into the air, landing on the back of ring breasts. He stuck out his tongue, letting it part, and jabbed the forked prong right into the top of her head, slicing through bone, piercing her brain. Instantly, the human went rigid and then let go of her death grip on Buxtec. She reached down and pried her companion, a skinny man with twin blades grafted to his forearms in place of actual hands, off the little monster as well, tossing him to the ground.
"Now, Willix,"
Dexy screamed with Ringbreast's voice.
I can't,
she stammered.
"What if I can't find myself again?"
"Mom does it all the time."
"Well, I haven't done it ever,"
the little fly girl cried. There was no more time to argue. The first bullet man melted into the barrel, and the flesh cannon fired its shot. All three monsters were able to jump out of the way just in time, and the blast instead hit the outer wall of their house, turning it to mush, causing the structure to collapse before their eyes. Dexy, riding atop the ring-breasted human like a horse, and Buxtec climbed to their feet as the second bullet began to screw itself into place.
"Relax," Dexy screamed. "We can't do it without you."
"Okay,"
the fly girl said. She rose into the air above the dazed human with the blades on his forearms. He too climbed to his feet, screamed a warbled war cry, and charged Dexy and Buxtec, intent on keeping them away from the flesh cannon long enough for it to fire again. Willix took a deep breath, closed her eyes, and broke apart. Blade arms jumped into the air and struck out in a downward fashion, causing Dexy to pull Ringbreast's arms up in a defensive posture. The move deflected the blow, but not without severing her right arm at the elbow. She stared at the severed limb, now dangling by a single ligament, in disbelief, drool running from her mouth, unable to so much as scream out from the agonizing pain. Blade arms reared back to attack again when a fly buzzed in front of his face, distracting him. He waved at it annoyingly with a blade arm, but another took its place, then another, and another. Little flies buzzed all around the metal human's head until he was completely engulfed in insects. They didn't stop with his head. Soon, more and more flies swarmed around his arms, his chest, and finally his legs, until the human was completely concealed within a thick layer of buzzing, writhing little fly monsters.
"Is this what you wanted?"
the flies said in unison, a million little Willix voices speaking at once. Dexy smiled and roared again, but as he turned to lead the charge toward the flesh cannon, the bullet atop its multi-segmented barrel spun and melted down. The blast was aimed directly at the little monsters. There was no time to evade. Dexy shut his eye and prepared to be disintegrated where he stood, his only hope that his body, along with the ring-breasted human, would absorb enough of the impact to spare Willix's life. That's when Buckstack jumped in front of him and, without hesitation, grew to over 10 feet tall in the blink of an eye. The giant monster turned and braced himself as the blast met him right in the middle of his back. But a funny thing happened. Buckstack didn't disintegrate. His flesh didn't melt away. The superheated expulsion of liquid human bounced right off him and back toward the flesh cannon itself. The spray covered the bodies of the machine, burning their fleshy parts slowly. They howled in agony as the gunk burned through their skin, then muscle, through bone, until finally melting their lungs and vocal cords, putting an abrupt end to their protests. Dexy and Willix stared at Buckstack in disbelief. The big monster looked more surprised than anyone.
I'm not dead,
he stammered out as he shrank back down to his normal size.
No, big buddy, you're invincible,
Dexy said, beaming with pride.
What do we do with the humans?
Willix asked, walking the blade-armed man around, swinging his blades through the air.
We'll kill them and then continue with our plan, Dexy said. This time, I won't mess it up.
Tapping the same series of spots Krug pressed in the gyroscopic circle at Ringbreast's chest, Dexy opened the secret compartment and tore out the self-destruct button, preventing another Krug episode.
Aw, man, I was just getting good at this. You get to do all the cool stuff,
Willix said. Suddenly, blade arms started to shake. His screams penetrated the thick layer of flies swarming his body. Blood began gushing out from in between the little flies. Then, just as quickly as they'd swarmed him, all the flies darted off his body at once, leaving nothing more than clean white bones and metal exoskeleton in their wake. The flies had eaten him so quickly his bones still shook where they stood for a moment longer before collapsing to the ground in a heap.
Willix,
Dexy said, growing uneasy after she hadn't reformed into her real body after several minutes had gone by.
Sis, can you hear me?
Flies buzzed around, but there seemed to be no focus to their flight pattern. Dexy panicked.
Willix, you have to come back. You have to remember who you are.
Chill out, little bro,
Willix said, reforming instantly behind him. She burped and rubbed her tummy.
Remind me to eat humans more often. They're tasty.
With Buckstack gaining control of his size, he was able to shrink down small enough so that all three monsters fit snugly inside the stomach of the ring-breasted human, after they'd extracted most of her innards, of course. They trudged along inside Ringbreast's for several miles. The vast devastation of their beautifully horrific city caused Willix to start crying again. Flesh cannons, 10 times the size of those the children had encountered thus far, boomed in the distance. Those machines must have required 100 or more men to construct the biomechanical weapons. Explosions rocked the sky, blasting their fellow monsters blessed with flight right out of the air. The death was nearly palpable, the scent of it, of mutilated corpses, both human and monster, created a dampness to the air they breathed. A silent dread grew stronger with every step they took, and still the Overmind's eye glowed strong as ever. A rumbling behind them caused the little monsters to stop. What this time? Some new death machine to delay their voyage further? Worse. It was the army. The fighting forces of humans were all converging together into one gigantic legion of millions and millions. And they all walked toward the Overmind. This was it. The humans would overtake the Overmind with the sheer vastness of their numbers, like an entire colony of ants overwhelming a bird or a lizard. The gargantuan army marched right past the monsters, paying the bleeding, ring-breasted woman with the huge gash in her stomach and less an arm, no mind. The monsters fell in line and marched along with the humans. They were, after all, headed to the same place.
"Glory! Glory! Death! Death!"
the humans cried. Their chant aligned with their marching, one word for every step. Ahead of the little monsters, inside the body of ring breasts, was a sort of platform, except made of humans. They were all conjoined at the limbs and contorted in such a way as to make a walking stage, allowing the commander of this particular section of the human army to stand over his troops and survey their movement. The commander was twice the width of a normal human because it was two humans, grafted together at the face, shoulder, wrist, hip, and ankle, and all encased in an oversized exoskeleton. The commander was both a male and a female.
"Your fathers," the male head said, "and your father's fathers of those fathers of which we speak of,"
the female head continued. They finished each other's sentences as though they shared the same brain. The way their heads were grafted together, maybe they did.
"Generations of brave people slaved away in the factories beneath our feet full of brave people. They died of burns and smoke and worse things that they died of so that their sons and daughters would live to see this moment that is for their sons and daughters. So that the seed of their seed, the blood of their blood, could march upon the great evil and slay the great evil in which they came to slay. Rid this once beautiful planet of the cancer that's smothered this beautiful planet's lush, life-giving force for 500 years of smothering. Destroy evil! Destroy evil!" the army chanted. "Look upon the face of that which has a face upon which we look,"
the general said in unison, as the army descended into the valley that lay at the foot of the Overmind. It stood taller than any mountain in the world, one glorious hunk of putrid flesh, the very worst, most awful thing ever to be dreamed up in the small, dark hours of the most imaginative human mind. The last time mankind looked upon its mighty visage, its mere presence had been enough to send them shrieking back the way they'd come, welcoming the teeth and claws and other horrors that awaited them, just so long as they never had to look at it again. But these were not those humans. These creatures had somehow escaped the Overmind's wrath and created their own hell. Generation after generation of tortured souls living and dying, but with one purpose, to look upon the face of the Overmind once again. Only this time, instead of shrieking madness, there were only howls of joy and chants of doom. The army stopped at the base of the Overmind. they were close enough to the titanic horror that tentacles darted out from the mountain of flesh and snatched several of those humans unfortunate enough to be stationed at the front of the line. They were dragged into slobbering, fanged mouths, violently dismembered and eaten for their troubles. Dexy, Willix, and Buckstack sat still inside Ringbreasts, doing their best human impression, trying to remain anonymous, knowing that a mistake like last time would mean certain death in front of this legion.
"Every single second that's passed since the great evil forced us down into the earth has led up to this second that is passing now," the general screamed. "We take the mountain from the evil. We take the upper world back from the evil that is the mountain."
Just then, a spot in the front of the mountain peeled back, revealing a dark chasm. A dozen monsters emerged, the children's mothers among them. They descended the mountain, standing defiantly at the base, directly in front of the legion of millions of mechanically enhanced humans. They were all that was left of the monster resistance. Suddenly, Willix burst from Ringbreast's stomach, zipping across the heads of the humans in the front line of the army before they could react.
"Mama!"
she cried. The little fly girl slammed into her mother, gripping the larger fly monster made of fly monsters so tightly she thought she might hug right through her mother's body. But something was wrong.
"Mama!"
Willix said. Blood dripped from her mother's mouth. The little girl looked over at Buckstack's nine-headed hydra-like mother. The eyes of her heads were lifeless. Blood oozed from their noses.
"No!"
Willix said in a whisper. She jumped back just as metal hands ripped through the tops of the bodies of all dozen monsters. They tore the hollowed-out monster shells off like costumes, discarding their skins like so much garbage. The human masquerading as the little monster's mother stepped forward. Grafted to its head were six mini flesh cannons.
"Victory is ours! I have just come from the bowels of the great evil from which I have come. It spoke to me. It said, 'It is finished. We have won the thing in which we came to win.'"
The ranks of millions of humans cheered. One huge, deafening, warbled yell filled the air and hung there for a moment. The humans had indeed won. The Overmind had conceded defeat, and every last living monster had been wiped off the planet. Except for three little kids. Unfortunately for the humans, one of those little kids was Buckstack, the destroyer of worlds, the scourge of nations, Buckstack, the invincible.
Boom. Humans done did the same thing to the little monsters. They crawled up inside their parents' bodies and fucking psyched out the little kids, convinced them that they were still alive, and then busted out of the parents' body. It's all kinds of things crawling up inside of other things, making other things out of things' body parts.
Flesh cannons.
Flesh cannons and all kinds of stuff. It's just, that's you know, welcome to Kevin Strange's fucking headpiece, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
So that was part three. Stay tuned next week for
the finale.
For the finale. And now we get into the controversial discussion phase of Reading Two Strangers.
For all you three. People that fast forward.
For everybody who fast forwarded to the whatever this is, 45, 50 minute mark. So last year, November-ish, this kid gets ready to go to BizarroCon his fourth time. Not going to name who he is, because I'm not a public shamer. Doesn't matter who he is. No. I don't speak in perfect facts because I'm not a journalist. My job isn't to present you with facts. My job is to get the discussion going using hyperbole and drama. That's my job. I'm a fucking fiction writer. I'm a shit stirrer. My job is to get people having a conversation, not to direct that conversation and not to finish that conversation.
Drawing pictures in people's minds.
Y'all want the exact facts, the exact names, the exact situation? Y'all go look that up yourself, okay? Get on that Google machine. Get on that Facebook machine. You know, I haven't been on Facebook in over a month now.
Yeah, I just actually signed back up.
God.
A while back now, but we're in the future, but...
What a shit show that place is.
I've actually got it limited to so many people that it ain't too bad. But you can't. I mean,
why don't we use this as a topic for next week? Let's talk about Facebook next week. We'll talk about why Kevin Strange quit Facebook will be podcast force topic. So let's move on. Let's get so this kid, he goes to a convention.
Yeah.
And
I've been to them with you. They're fun.
And he meets a girl. And he develops a nice, strong old crush on her because she's everything he looks for in a woman. She's an author, strong. She's a strong, independent woman, female author. Just everything that is super, super feminist, super SJW, super cultural Marxist. Just everything he looks for in a woman. Which
had a bad mama.
If he knew better, he would know that those are all weapons. And that they are all pointed directly at his fucking face because he's a single white guy. And so for men, a lot of guys haven't picked up on this yet. A lot of guys, they just they try to go with the culture. They try to go with whatever's popular, whatever's trendy. And what's trendy right now is weaponizing femininity. Weaponized feminism. And it will fucking crush and destroy you. And this poor sap found out about it firsthand. This poor dude made the mistake of trying to create some kind of fucking sexual mojo with another single human being in a big old gathering of human beings with tons of sexual tension, everybody drinking alcohol and hooking up, fucking in hotel rooms, and he wanted to be a part of that. Let's get our motherfucking swerve on. Let's get that swerve on.
You know they can't see you, Dan.
So, this is not an isolated story. This happens all the time. And it happens more and more frequently. Not because women are finally brave enough to stand up to the oppressive patriarchy and these sexual predators that are inundating our convention scene. No. They are weaponizing their femininity. They realize they're brainwashed through through the women's studies, the racial studies, all of the cultural Marxist classes that they take in fucking college. They are sort of they start looking for this confirmation bias. They start reading these fucking books by these fucking ultra communist Marxist writers from the 20th century, telling them that they are an oppressed minority, and that the white straight male patriarchy is trying to keep them down, keep them poor and oppressed, and rape the shit out of them because we have hashtag rape culture all up in this motherfucker. So,
as opposed to like Attila the Huns.
These guys, they just want to get laid, right? And these girls that go to these cons,
judging this dude. He may have actually had an emotional and mental crush as well as a sexual crush. I mean, he'd fall for girls for different reasons. I mean,
okay.
It could have been like a whole bouquet of things that he enjoyed and things he wanted from her, but he never got a chance. I mean,
okay.
He apparently.
I'm just saying he wanted to get his dick sucked. But
we want to get our dick sucked. I'll give you that. But we don't know this dude. I'm not going to throw... I mean, you may, but
I don't know this. What's funny is all this blew up in my face because I again had the audacity to want to speak from an alternate position and try to play devil's advocate and try to get people to see that going after fucking. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes,
we're getting ahead of ourselves. Rewind. This guy, so this fella, he wants to get his intellectual and emotional swerve on, and so every time he sees this girl at the show, every time she walks into a room he's in, he makes his fucking way. I'm gonna just make an excuse to go over here. Oh, fancy seeing you here, you strong, independent, feminist writer woman. Do you want to have a conversation? You want to talk to me? And so apparently things were happening. The communication signals were very different. The perspectives these two people were apparently communicating on were very different. She was avoiding him all weekend, going, oh my God, there's that guy that tries to talk to me. Oh, he's a straight, single, white male, patriarchy, hashtag rape culture. He's literally stalking me. He's harassing me.
Did she ever say,
what do you
this
think?
Is making me feel uncomfortable?
What do you think?
I would guess no.
Do they ever?
No, they don't. But, I mean, occasionally you'll get one or two that's rude about it, but
I was a witness! He spoke to her on four different occasions!
Oh my God. But she...
I was there!
But instead of doing the human thing to do, like what if a girl's crushing on you and you don't dig her, you say...
Let me tell you a story. I took one of my best friends of my whole life, known him since I was 13 years old, to a horror convention one time, and we brought these girls up to the room. They were hanging out at the table as we were shutting down for the day. We took them up to the hotel room. One thing led to another. They started getting frisky with my buddy, and I decided that they were a little skanky. They were, let's be honest, they were a little under my threshold.
Wow, that's low.
So I peaced out, and I went down to Arby's and had basically the same meal my friend was about to have. If you get what I'm saying, yes. You get what I'm saying.
Brown,
that floppy brown roast beef. So I hooked up with some other friends, and we had Arby's. And when I came back to the hotel room, they were gone. And let me tell you, dude, for about 3 hours, me and the rest of the crew were very concerned that there had been a sexual assault. We were ready to call the cops. We were trying to gather on my friend. We were ready to call the cops on my friend.
But he's white male.
Whom I've known since I was 13 years old. Hmm. But we wanted to gather all the facts and make sure that we knew what we were getting ourselves into before we went to go do something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Once we spoke to the girls, once we were able to track them down, which was hard because we were at a horror convention, it was after hours, so people can go anywhere. They don't even be; they wouldn't even necessarily be on site anymore. There was a chance that we wouldn't have even ever seen them again, and had to have made the moral decision at that point. The girls are gone. Do we call the cops? Did my friend sexually assault these girls? He was acting really drunk and really weird when we got back, and I didn't like the answers to the questions. I didn't like his answers to the questions that I was asking him. And long story short, we ran into the girls. Nothing happened. They had just gotten bored and left because he was too drunk to perform. And there was no anything. Nothing was wrong. And so the whole thing was dropped. My friend was drunk. He was wasted, blackout drunk. And he was tired of the questions I was asking him. So he just started answering like an asshole. He started answering questions to piss me off, and what it was doing was sounding alarm bells. That's one of my best fucking friends that I've known since I was a child. These people go to these horror cons and claim to witness these fucking, you know, stalking and harassment. They do nothing. They don't call the authorities. They don't ask for the convention promoters to remove the individuals from the premises. They simply get on social media later, which is where this story's going, and try to publicly shame and harass and censor these individuals using social justice as opposed to real justice, because stalking and harassment are real crimes. Thing is, they have to happen. You have to prove them. You're innocent until proven guilty when you use the real court of law.
You also have to vocalize that you feel threatened or stalked or for the...
So this kid goes home from the con completely unaware that there's even been a problem. And he starts typing up his blog review, his reviews of his travelogue, basically, of his time spent at this convention. And he starts publishing them, 1, 2, 3. He starts getting messages and Facebook comments from some of this girl's friends, first politely asking him, can you take her name out of there? She doesn't feel comfortable with you naming her as an individual. Now, this is a person who is a published author, who has her name all over social media, has a Facebook page, a Twitter page, a fucking Goodreads page,
an Amazon
page, who was at an industry gathering, an industry convention, and is saying that she doesn't want her name used in this guy's blogs because he made me uncomfortable. So they start asking him publicly to take her name out of the blogs. And he does what everybody does. I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I'm embarrassed. I didn't realize there was a problem. And then he started thinking about it.
That's not what everybody does. That's what good people do.
Okay.
People that are actually respectful. Some people cower and hide, but he was doing what used to be, I know it's sexist to say it, the man thing to do.
Right.
Admit your
chivalrous
mistakes.
Yes. Chivalrous thing to do. The problem with social justice warriors is the minute you apologize for a mistake you didn't even know you made, that is, they have now proven that they were right and that there was harassment and there was stalking involved. And so they start cornering this guy and doing what you fucking do right before they get ready to tar and feather him. They're basically circling him, getting ready to metaphorically capture him so that they can put him on public display. And I jump in. I personally jump in online and I start saying, are you guys calling for the censorship of an author's writing? And he starts going, maybe I shouldn't change what I wrote. Maybe the fact that you're getting upset is a testament to how good my writing is. If I'm evoking an emotional reaction out of people, then maybe this is the kind of writing that, that's maybe it should stay up.
Well, and by the listeners, it wasn't like I followed her to her hotel room. It
fuck
was just
no.
saying he had a crush
fuck
on her.
No. And these people that
I
are
saw her as she slept at night, she looked pretty.
These people demanding that he remove her name didn't even read his blogs. She's just crying to him, bitching and complaining about this guy.
Because she felt like shit, because she probably realized that, A, she didn't say anything to him, which is not the right signals to send as an adult. If you know somebody's crushing on you and you just let it go and then tell everybody that it's weird, then you've done the wrong thing.
So I publicly come out and condemn this behavior, this call for this author to censor his writing. See, we don't do that. Writers don't ask other writers to censor their writing. This is where I draw the line. There will be no censorship. Just because a single white guy goes to a horror con and wants to hook up with a girl and she doesn't want him to is not justification for asking authors to censor their writing. We've gone to fucking Jupiter. We are way out of line at this point. And the community erupted on me. They started publicly arguing with me in Facebook comments, but they started coming to me in private too, trying to tell me things like, you gotta understand this girl has a rough past. You gotta understand this girl has had really bad encounters with men before. And my response was always the same to all these people that came to me in private. My response was always the same. Then what's she doing at a public gathering, and why didn't her friends stop any guys from talking? It's not this stranger's responsibility. It's not
rough past with the opposite sex.
And it's not a stranger's response. This is what politically correct social justice, feminism, this is what cultural Marxism teaches you, is before you even know there's something wrong with me, it's your responsibility to coddle me. Speak to me with the pronouns that I want to be spoken to with before you ever even know that's a thing. And, approach me, don't mansplain to do all this stuff. We are required with this insane social justice, politically correct. There's these parameters with which we're allowed to communicate with each other. And this kid wasn't aware that there was an issue. He wasn't told there was an issue. He was simply enjoying himself at a convention where many people, and I've probably witnessed at least 300 people hook up and fuck that were strangers
we're going to
at conventions, right? I've witnessed it. I've done it myself. hooked up with people, strangers, never met before, never seen him since, fucked him at a show, and that's what we do. That's part of the draw, is we go, we blow off the steam of our normal lives, and we hook up and we fuck. We fuck like rabbits. We get wasted and we fuck. And social justice always finds a culture and then divides it in half, decides which half is oppressed and the other half are oppressors. And they have made their way into the pop culture convention circuit, whether it be horror conventions, writing-related conventions, comic cons, and there is now this separation between single white men and everyone else. Single white men have to abide by these giant lists of do not look at me wrong, do not talk to me wrong, do not take pictures of me wrong, do not touch me wrong, do not ask me questions wrong, do not, you know, it's
unless this, that's what I want, then you have to determine in your brain if that's what they want,
and then you can hook up. But then it's basically all on the female or the minority or the gay person, whatever, whoever is in the so we divide it down the middle. Single white guys are on one side as the oppressors, and everyone else is on the other side. Those that everyone else on the other side, they have to engage you and offer consent about every 30 seconds. Is it okay if I touch your thigh? Is it okay if I buy you a drink? Is it okay if I take you back?
You're preaching the choir.
Is it okay if I take you back to the hotel room?
Rewind it a little bit. You said something happened in her past and he was just supposed to do that. Well, I've had things happen in my past that you can't go.
And you take personal responsibility for it, right?
Well, yeah.
I personally, I used to get beat up so bad in high school by white guys. Yeah. By white guys that I still have social anxiety and I still avoid the bar scene because a bunch of drunk guys having fun yelling and screaming and hollering and maybe getting into fights gives me, I'm immediately put on the defensive. I walk in the door and I'm immediately like, fuck, somebody's going to start shit with me. And I avoid that scene as much as I can because I just have this horrible feeling inside. And I know it's irrational and I know where it comes from. And guess who I don't blame? The people at the bar.
Yeah.
I don't put the responsibility of what's happened to me in my past onto other human beings. I simply avoid the situations. Yes. And so what I said to this girl's friends when she came to me in private was, well, she should take responsibility for that, or at the very least, you as her friends should take responsibility for that, know better, and prevent her from either A, attending conventions, or B, keep her out of sight of all possible suitors that are going to try to hook up with her because she's a single girl at a con and that's what dudes want to hook up with, right? So it's again, it's this politically correct idea, and I was told I was being insensitive. Because I should know that because this girl has a bad past and has trouble socially with men hitting on her, that I should just therefore then accept all of this stuff. We're going to excommunicate this guy from the community. We're going to make him censor his writing. I'm supposed to accept all of that. I'm supposed to accept all of the ridiculous social justice behavior because this girl has a troubled past. I'm not going to do it. And neither should you, and neither should anybody else. And I keep having conversations like this because there are a lot of people who agree with this. There are a lot of people who agree with this, but the moment they speak out and they talk about this and they try to have an honest conversation about it, they're labeled as rape apologists. They're labeled as bigots. They're labeled as sexists. I used to promote the fuck out of this female author. I love her writing. I love her energy. I love how she busts her ass. She writes more than I do. She puts work into it. But she's gotten herself completely brainwashed by the cultural Marxist ideas of feminism and social justice. And every time she saw me post videos on Facebook, like I'd post YouTube videos of women explaining why they're not feminists, or explaining how they had been brainwashed by cultural Marxism, but had realized how unhappy it made them to try to divide every situation in half and find the bigot. Yeah. Of every situation. It doesn't make people happy. Here's the thing, is dividing everybody in half and calling half of them bigots and calling half of them oppressors and constantly complaining about the speech we use, it doesn't make anybody happy. It doesn't make the people accusing them happy, and it doesn't make the people who now have to walk on eggshells around each other, grown adults having to walk around eggshells around each other, everybody's miserable. And well, so
they're also miserable because, you know, for, you know, 5 million years we've made it in a certain way, and we've developed relationships in a certain way. Well, if you all of a sudden switch the keys of mating, I mean, if you talk to any girl, she wants a guy to be forward. She ain't going around trying to get shot down.
Right.
Well, that's something that's been, since, you know, for about 5 million years in human existence. So if you cut all of that out...
And for about the last 5 years, that's been completely frowned upon. It's now the prerogative of the woman to approach all the men.
No. We're still supposed to approach them. We're just supposed to pay hell if they don't want us to approach them.
Right. Weaponize femininity.
So we have dual responsibilities and could be either considered a rapist or be considered the best guy that ever walked up to her.
Depending on how she likes your haircut, likes the smell of your cologne,
or some of the most
how she likes
absolutely crazy. That's why it's not dating. They have fucking obscene. Most men have.
Let's get into that for just a second, though. But I wanted to finish my thought. This female author ends up contacting me saying, "I'm deleting you from my social media. I don't want to be friends with you anymore because of your pro male. What do they call them? They call them
cisgender.
No. The men who men's rights activists because of your MRA. Oh, yeah. All of your MRA posts, your men's rights posts. I'm like, first of all, I've never claimed to support. You know, to speak for any group. Period. I speak for myself. And second of all, you can't be friends with me because we have opposing viewpoints. I promote this girl all the time. And she posts feminist bullshit all the time. I ignore it because I like her energy. I like her writing. I think she's a talented author. Mm-hmm. And I like how prolific she is.
Stalker.
I don't... fuck you. I don't appreciate the pro... The female supremacy stuff that she posts. The cultural Marxist brainwashed bullshit. But guess what? I'm an adult and I can separate the wheat from the chaff, right? Mm-hmm. I can say I appreciate this about a person more than I don't appreciate this about a person. Yeah, like whereas what happens with these with when they get feminism into your fucking brain as a girl is that I'm somehow I'm speaking from the point of the privileged cisgendered male. And I can't have these opinions. The fact that I'm even expressing this is oppressing her. So she cuts off all ties to me, even though I'm one of her biggest supporters. Her biggest industry supporters. She cuts off all ties to me because I don't like feminism. Let's get back into what... I just wanted to finish that point. We were going a little bit...
The males stop dating because... Yeah. There's way too many rules. You have to read too many different...
So what men have turned to is porn and video games. Mm-hmm. Dudes have mostly dropped out of the dating scene altogether. And that's really, as sad as it is...
That's why they can't find a good guy.
As sad as it is, that's my fucking advice to men who go to conventions, is to cut them off. All these girls that dress up in cosplay that just barely have their nipples covered and wear thongs and fucking, you know, do squats for 6 months to prepare their ass for the Princess Leia costume they're going to wear, just ignore them. Walk right past them. You got porn, you got video games. Fuck these bitches. Don't. Yeah. Don't fuck these bitches at horror conventions anymore. Give them what they want. Give them what they deserve. All of this fucking patriarchy bullshit, all of this fucking oppressed minority we're the oppressed gender bullshit. Let them have it. Let them live in a world where they dress up to get all this attention, where they walk around these cons to get all this attention, but they want the attention, but they have their weapons fucking pointed right at us. If we do it wrong, if you do it wrong, I'm gonna fucking injure, I'm gonna ruin your career, I'm gonna ruin your life, I'm going to try to get you fired from your job, I'm going to try to ruin your relationships with your family if you do this wrong. But look how sexy I am. Look how sexy I am. Stop looking at them. My advice to single white men at conventions is go do you, brother. Go to the cons and fucking get your fucking autograph signed. Get your fucking indie movies and books from guys like me and Jeremy. Hang out. Have a great time. Drink with your friends. Have a blast. Ignore those fucking women. Quit trying to hook up with them. You got porn and you got video games. You don't need these bitches. And after maybe a decade of us fucking freezing these women out...
It wouldn't take a decade. They would flip the fuck out. You think they're bad now. We start ignoring all the fucking attention indicators they throw up. Little flags like, look at this, look at this. They would flip out in less than a year. It would be the Amazon women on the moon shit. They'd be dragging us, keeping us in caves. No, you will give me the dick. Look at me. I am showing my ass. Look at me now.
Look how hard I worked on this ass. I've been doing squats for 2 years to get in this Princess Leia costume. That's all I really want to say about that.
All right.
So
that's the only way to survive. A horror convention.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the survival guide for white guys at pop culture cons. So
beat off. Do your porn.
Yep. Beat off to your porn and leave these crazy bitches alone. Bitches be crazy, Jeremy.
And that's the alternate universe I want to go. I want to go to where all these girls dress up as all these highly sexualized, you know, figures in pop culture, and not a single dude fucking watches them. That would be fucking amazing.
They would just have
breakdowns. They would have Laura Croft going, "Look at my tits."
No, they would turn on each other. They would accuse each other of being too hot. You're too hot. Is he looking at you? Is he looking at your ass instead of my ass? Your ass is bigger than mine, bitch. Quit eating them tacos, bitch. Big ass, fat ass, bitch. Exactly. So anyway, what are we doing next week? What's episode 4 going to look like?
Episode 4 should be the conclusion of Humans Under the Bed.
And why Kevin Strange quit Facebook.
Oh, yeah, the Facebook.
Yeah. Till next time, gang. Keep reading.
And buy our shit.
All music featured on the Reading to Strangers podcast provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/license/by/3.0/.